the New York Ska Jazz Ensemble with In Motion. It's from their 2011 album, Double Edge. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead, and a program that will cause us to get philosophical today. I just want to make a comment about yesterday's program and the program the day before. What I meant to convey, and I hope you got that point, is that very often when we're experiencing these national upheavals, as we are right now with the question of who will fill the open spot in the U.S. Supreme Court, we think that it's happening for the first time right then and there. But as we have been discussing, especially specifically as it relates to the U.S. Supreme Court, this is an experience that many Americans, mostly people of color, specifically African Americans, this particular subject has been talked about for 164 years. So it boggles my mind whenever these subjects come up that we act like it's so new. Imagine that, 164 years from the first U.S. Supreme Court dealing with this question of what the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to do. Its very first edict 164 years ago was one that continues to reverberate to this day. The black man has no rights that the white man is bound to respect. Now that is foundational, no matter what they say. And we see the vestiges of that ruling, and further, the ruling says, by the way, that the black man is to accept permanently his position of inferiority in the society. So just a reminder that practically any subject that we're talking about that has national implications is something that has played out in our world a long time ago. The pity is that for many African Americans, we just don't seem to get the message. Or we don't seem to know that this is something we've been dealing with in this instance for 164 years. And that is just relating to the U.S. Supreme Court. Okay? So these points we discuss, they're not meant to just be esoteric. They're meant to remind us that we so often are bereft of our own history. We just don't understand that we have covered this ground many, many, many times and many, many, many years ago. And that is why my attitude is, whatever is going on now, that bacchanal that's going on now in Washington, D.C., over Kavanaugh, and whether he belongs in the U.S. Supreme Court or not, I'm not the least bit interested in it. Because my reference point for the U.S. Supreme Court is 164 years ago, what the court actually said, the very first court, and it remains consistent to this day. So I just wanted to make that comment about the fact that in not knowing our history, we are open to all kinds of attacks, all kinds of misleading information, all the more to cause us to come to the wrong conclusions. And the principal thing that we need to do is look in every instance when we are directed by media coverage and by news conferences that are held and all kinds of discussions that are going on, polls and taken, we've already been there. We already know this animal. We understand it very well. We've already gotten messages from it 164 years ago. And what we need to understand is the correlation between what we learned 164 years ago and the absolute slaughter that is occurring in the lower courts today. It still puts us at a clear disadvantage. We clearly are being targeted. But today I want to talk about this notion of self-identity and national identity. What does it mean to be American? When we think about it, what really defines us today? How do we define ourselves today? And what are the elements of the definition we ascribe to ourselves? What would we say constitutes our notion of self-identity? And how does self-identity relate to the idea of national identity? Now, it sounds like a reasonably straightforward question or series of questions, but we'll discuss today identity issues which continue to be driving forces in practically all aspects of American life, and their relationship with our consciousness of our own identity. Are they one and the same? How are we dealing with this reality, this schizophrenic existence that we have? We are said to have a personal identity, which incorporates all kinds of elements, our culture, our racial designation, or our sense of our own independent selves, whatever that is. And then we have this thing called a national identity. We are Americans. Well, what does that mean? And how does our notion of self-identity fit, or even maybe not fit, maybe it conflicts with the notion of national identity? How do we ultimately determine what our identity, our so-called identity is? Fascinating, isn't it? I'd be interested in what your thinking is. How do you define your identity? Do you have an identity? How did you come by it? What were the elements of it when you formed or you became conscious of an identity, your self-identity? Is it in harmony with what people identify as a national identity? Is it different? Is it one and the same? And what do you see as the potential for conflict in this notion of identity? How does it help you? How does it harm, if it does? The notion of self-identity, the notion of national identity, especially in today's America. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's get philosophical about this. But it's, as you can tell, a very important question. We don't think about it. because most of the time we're functioning on automatic. We really don't think about our so-called identity. We don't know where we get it from. But we do have attitudes, we do have things that are sacred to us. We have very pronounced beliefs. We have outlooks on life that may or may not be the same as or shared with the rest of people that you know. So, does this business of identity cause you any conflict? Does it cause you any inconvenience? Does it cause you to even think or rethink this notion of identity? Do you have the right identity? Do you have the so-called wrong identity? Does your identity need fixing? What is this thing called identity that we suppose all of us we are supposed to have? How do we use it? When do we become aware of our identity, either our self-identity or our shared so-called national identity? All righty. That's the task today. And it's going to cause us to get into some really interesting corners of the arena of how we function every day in the society. What do we carry with us as knowledge about ourselves and about our environment, our nation? What are we carrying every single day as part of our identity? Are you aware of it? Does it mean anything to you? Is it something that you're in the process of fixing or overhauling? I'll need to know. So we'll take this little break and we will come back and deal with your solid thoughts on the question. This is going to give you some time to put them together. We'll do that and come back right after this. On PRN.FM, I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're waxing philosophic today on the matter of identity, self-identity, national identity. How do we deal with this question of what is our identity? How does it come into play in our everyday lives? How do we use it? Is it something that we find useful? Is it something that needs overhauling? Is it something that we need to throw away and start from scratch? What is it? Please tell me. I'm dying to know. On any given day, as you traverse the world, how aware are you of your identity, whatever that is? And you will tell us what that is and how you came to the definition of your self-identity. How does it work or not work with the concept of a national identity? Are they in harmony with each other? Do you experience undue amounts of conflict? Do you agree or disagree with what people use to define you and even themselves? Are you okay with this notion of identity? Do you see instances in which identity issues are causing you problems or causing the society problems. We have no calls yet. This is unusual. This is a thinking audience. I thought we would be blitzed with calls. Oh, I see. You're getting a little reticent, are you? I like that. I like the fact that people are thinking very heavily before they pick up the phone and say, okay, I'll put my two cents in, and this is what I think. The reason we are going through these kinds of exercises is that more and more there are indications that we are really not in tune with ourselves. And very often we have conflict with the larger society without knowing why. Is the conflict because there is a clash between identities, values is what we would say, but it's really about our identity. So this was one of the cases with the US Supreme Court. The values, so-called values, of the people on the court are not necessarily the values of the people that they are setting rules for, laying down the law for. So how do we deal every day with the possibility that our identities, we will have to defend them in some way, but do we understand that? Do we have a working knowledge, a consciousness about our identities, however we choose to define them, and the rest of the world, especially that part of the world that has the power and authority over us in one way or another, how do we reconcile the two? Is it working or not? 888-874-4888. Is this too esoteric a topic for today? Should we talk about something else? Well, this is important. I'd be interested in knowing how conscious we are of our identities as we go through the day. 888-874-4888. Henry from Chicago, you get us started today.
Hi, Yatrice. How's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
Oh, it's okay. Summer's still trying to hold on here in Chicago. We got 80-degree weather here, so.
Oh my gosh. You will need memories of this weather in due course because it's going to be freezing.
right. Listen, before I go on, I owe you some money because I know I missed the campaign that you were doing for PRN, so I will be sending my donation probably sometime this week. So,
Great. Thank you so much. And don't forget, write my name on it so I account for myself and my audience would account for ourselves as well. Thank you, Henry.
I will do that. Listen, what I heard you, I got on a little late, but I heard you talking about identity and how do I identify
Yes.
as this. Can you repeat the question for me?
The question is, are you aware of what your identity is? How do you define your identity? How does your definition of your self-identity fit or not fit with the larger society? What difficulties does it cause you on an everyday basis?
Well, as far as identity, now, I still, I still kind of grapple with identity only because a lot of other people around me are grappling with it, even though I should know who I am and where I come from. So I understand that, as far as a racial identity, I definitely know that I'm not white. On the birth certificate, it says that I am a citizen of the United States, even though I am not treated as one in regards to what other people are treated like. I guess the thing that I am trying to grapple with what other people in my circle, which predominantly is black people, is how do we identify ourselves as black people here in America? And I guess, I mean, you put a really hard topic on the table, and that probably is why a lot of people aren't calling. But this is something that we kind of grapple with, because when we go at an issue, you know, whenever we go at an issue as far as, say, you know, as far as in regards to being a racially type of issue, you know, we get a lot of our people that say, well, you know, we can't do that because, you know, we're not just black, we're Americans, and that sort of thing, that sort of backlash we have. But then again, it's like when it comes to issues of just dealing with us in this country, you know, we don't get a lot of backing because of the fact that we're trying to be more American than we're more, you know, than being black. Whereas, you know, obviously we can all, you know, this is something that we're all born with here. You know, we can actually renounce our American citizenship any time. But the problem is that we can never renounce being black. So that's something that I've come to try to deal with. Now, I know a lot of people would like to categorize a lot of our problems in the terms of, you know, in the terms of class. Now, the problem with class is that it's not as static as, say, racial or even national identity, because anybody can be rich at any time, or anybody could be poor at any time. So when I look at our issues and people get confused about, you know, well, it's more of a class issue than anything, how do we classify ourselves? You know, what is rich and what is poor? You know, if I make a certain amount of money, you know, am I classified as rich? You know, but I'm
interested, Henry, in how you define yourself. It's interesting that you're responding to the question in a narrow sense, strictly, well, I would say in a narrow sense of racial designation. But is that the only element in defining yourself, your self-identity?
Oh, no, it's not the only thing. However, a lot of, well, let's just put it in my perspective. A lot of things that I am dealing with deals with racialized elements. So, no, it's not just solely racial, but there are other things that I identify with outside of being racial. So, but the racial aspect is probably, especially when it comes to dealing with things in this country, it's more dealing on the racial aspect.
Okay, you got us started. And thank you. Thanks for your call, and thank you for your donation as well. Dwight from New Jersey, how do you define yourself? What is your identity? If people were to ask you that question, how would you respond?
Good afternoon, Utrice. And I would like to say good afternoon to the TRN listening audience. And Utrice, before I would give my my remarks, I would like for you to remember, and which I do, and it's a high point of 2018 for me, is that when you were in New York on the 11th of March, now my birthday was the 8th, and so that was my treating myself to my birthday gift.
That is so nice to say.
And
I'm glad.
I want you to remember, because I was there with a young lady, and we asked you some questions about refile. So anyway, I'm not getting into that right now. I just wanted you to remember and know that that was one of the high points of this year. Now, as far as the identity question, Henry use the words grappling, there is no way that I am confused, and I am crystal clear on what my identity is in this structured America. Now, if Roger Taney declared that there's no rights that a white man is bound to respect, now, I think all black people may be looking at the word grappling as far as trying to fit in with white America and what their place is in America. But I cannot be confused through history and what has taken place that, as Roger Taney said, and just as you discussed earlier in the week, nothing's changed. So the confusion may lie in what the individual believes his role and identity is in this society, but society itself and the systems that are in place in society will slap you right back into a reality check. You have no rights. As you spoke the other day of white people having human rights and black people having civil rights. But with the civil rights issue is that they can be taken away at any time. I could go to bed tonight and wake up in the morning, and who knows what President Trump will nefariously think up in his mind to do that just will make it difficult for everybody. And from what I've seen, I cannot afford to be confused about my identity and what it means to me and what I mean to this society, which is nothing. I just can't be confused about that. I don't grapple with anything. Now, I don't care what my friends are. I mean, I don't care what my friends think. If I'm around my friends, if they are confused about who they are in this society, that's them. But I am not going to be confused, and I am not confused now.
Could you tell me whether your own notion, your own definition of identity for yourself, are you aware that it comes into conflict with the notion of national identity? And if so, in what situations is it likely to occur? Have you experienced it?
You, Therese, in everything. Like right now, we're dealing with the shiny object of Donald Trump and his appointee, Brett Kavanaugh, to the seat of the Supreme Court. Now, when we think about the main view or main focus of that investigation, it's about Brett Kavanaugh molesting sexually other white women. Now, I am just sick and tired of this women's right movement because black women aren't included. Native women aren't included. They don't even keep statistics of missing and sexually molested indigenous women. They don't even know how many women are being killed. So when I think about being part of that subset, that marginalized group, in this system does not affect just one part of my life. It affects every part of my life. If I go, let's say the voting situation, which should be the right of every man and woman who is of legal age to vote. Look what the Republicans do. The Republicans try and put up identity restrictions. They try redlining, you know, so that they can win. You know, I listened to an official extended version of Michael Moore's new film, and he said that he wanted to get Steve Bannon in the film. He said Steve Bannon ultimately refused, but that he said Steve Bannon did grant him a two-hour interview. And Michael Moore said that the first question that he asked Steve Bannon was, how did you guys do this? How did the Republicans get Donald Trump elected and do every nefarious other thing with policy that they've been able to do other than overturn Obamacare? And he stated that Steve Bannon told him is that our side goes for the headshot. And the Democrats, they only pillow fight. You know, so if I say that as far as me as an individual is concerned and I identify with the Democrats, then how can I be identified with anybody that's really putting up any real fight in anything for me or for any black life or any marginalized individual? You know, I just feel that the two-party system is just a sham. They're both aimed at keeping black people or marginalized people or white superiority in check. And me living an everyday life, I'm affected in every phase of my life. When I leave my home, I have to consider that, hey, in reality, there is a scenario that I might not come back home simply because I'm a black person. I'm a black man. And this is policy. This is afraid of who the other is. This is just a empowering white superiority and make sure that it goes on forever and ever. And see, one last remark, Utrice. If these white women, if they really wanted to not have their voice heard and they really wanted to be against sexual harassment, they would have not voted Donald Trump in 2016. See, I'm perplexed about that. How do you hear this man say everything about feeling the pussy, excuse me, and all these other derogatory remarks about women, and they still vote him in for whatever reason? And the only reason that I can come up with, you, Teresa, is hey, they're white women, they're part of the structure of white superiority, and they're voting against their best interest to maintain a system that, even though they're a marginalized group, it's better than being black.
Amen. Thank you very much for getting us a comprehensive overview of your answer today about identity and your consciousness about how identity is transported in all these different scenarios that you're involved in during the course of any given day. Thanks so much for your call. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's talk about identity. What is it that constitutes your identity? Is it different, your identity, from what is generally portrayed as the American identity? In what ways is it different? And how do you navigate life every day with this consciousness that there is a part of you that belongs only to you? There's a part of you that you're willing to lend or you rent out as you deal with your everyday tasks. You are an American, whatever that is. So how do you traverse the day? What is the casualty rate for you? Do you come home bruised because you had a crushing identity clash during the course of the day? These are very interesting questions to me. How do you, are you conscious of it? So far, we have two calls, both of which are pointing to race as part of the identity and race being part of their ongoing consciousness. And they're telling us stories about how this part of the identity comes into play every single day particularly in terms of being prepared for an assault on their identity. From South Carolina, Khalil, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Okay, Khalil, how are you?
I'm great. It's a sunny day, and so it's all good.
Good.
I'm curious about something, Yutris. Are you asking this question about identity because to many people, Americans, it appears that there's a war on black and brown and pretty much anyone who's not, quote-unquote, a white person in this country is coming down from the administration? Is that the impetus of this question?
No. I'm asking because actually it's an offshoot from our discussions on the U.S. Supreme Court, which, of course, took on the task or was given the task to frame a national legal framework, okay, which, of course, was expressed in terms specifically of identity. The identity question arose in the ruling, the majority opinion of Justice Roger B. Taney saying that the black man has no rights that the white man is bound to respect. In that statement, he defined two sets of identity, the identity, the superior identity of the American white person, and the permanent, and he was clear to point that out, the permanent inferior identity, a cultural identity of black people. And that occurred to me as we further discussed the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday.
Okay. I do remember your guest, right, and it prompted me to look up the Taney decision once again. And it's frightening in a lot of ways because now we have a whole group of folk that we're getting from the right in terms of the Supreme Court who are members of the Federalist Society, and they believe in reading the Constitution as is, which means that you and me and a lot of other people are pretty much three-fifths of a person. If it's read, you know, as a letter of the law. But maybe that's an offshoot. But the last few days, so anyway, I identify as a black person. I'm trying not to go off on too many tangents, but, you know, you've opened up a can of worms, it seems like, in the past few months.
I'm the official worm can opener.
That is one can opening, lady. But seriously, but it's a good way. It makes people look. How many people think? You know, some of the questions you make people, they don't respond because it makes you think. You have to think before you can talk. But okay, so this whole Supreme Court, it made me think about how they're packing the lower courts, the lower federal courts, you know, which are also lifetime positions, and they're attempting to put people on who have never tried a case and have no experience, as long as they're right wing enough. But
talk to me, Khalil, about your personal navigation every day. What comes into play in terms of your identity, however you define your identity? I would really like to know how you define your identity and how do you navigate a system that has its own identity?
Well, I guess as a professional black person, you wear a lot of hats. And I say that only because what happens is that the higher up you go, quote unquote, higher up you go in society, you find less and less of people who look like you around you. And you have to remember, we're all on the same level, we, coworkers, other folk. But in the back of some people's minds, you know, no matter what you bring to the table, it's tainted by your blackness in some people's eyes. But, you know, it's not healthy to dwell on that, in my opinion. It's great to think about, and it's good to navigate. It helps keep your rudder. You always have to keep your head up. But, you know, I vacillate. Because if you think about it too much, you know, it'll drive you crazy. And I think it has served me well in my lifetime. Just like we get to talk, you can't do what they do, you know, when you're younger, which is true. But I am a Black American, and I carry myself in a certain way most times because we are perceived in a certain way by society, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. It's different. This is an American thing, you know, because folks don't want to realize or accept the fact that this country, as much as folks like to say, some people say, well, we built this country and, you know, people aren't working hard enough. You know, this is a very young country, and to be as wealthy as we are in such a short amount of time was due in large part, most part, for over free labor and the insurance industry. Because remember, you know, they had to insure these slaves. And a lot of these companies are still around who were in the insurance business and shipping and everything else that's associated with the triangle trade. So, you know, we just have to, we have a different way of navigating. And the reason I brought up the current administration is that they're making it very clear, as you stated, there's a whole shift now toward, you know, Caucasians are being beset upon, and we have to stick up for quote-unquote America, you know, white America, because, see, they want the Supreme Court because there's not enough white babies. The fecundity rate is down for white women, and the sperm count is down for everybody, all men. And they understand that this country, the demographics, is going to be changing very shortly in the next, 20 or 30 years. And, you know, they feel like, I think, that they're going to get treated like they treated us, which is preposterous because C. Wright Mills' power elite, they're still going to be around. It's just they're emotional about it. You know, it's like
to call you an American, would that be insulting to you?
No, I am an American.
Okay.
That's what my passport says.
Psychologically, does your passport agree with what you feel inside?
Not nearly as much. No, I believe in loving the country and everything. America's mostly a, you know, it's a lot worse places to be, but there are a lot of drawbacks. And I'm not hyper nationalistic. I don't like this over waving of the flag, and you know, it frightens me when I see these Klan rallies, at these Trump rallies or Nuremberg rallies, whatever you want to call them. It's frightening. See, hyper-nationalism is dangerous. That's what I'm wary of, you know. And because when I hear American now, I don't think they're talking about me as much. Partially, but not a full American in a lot of people's eyes. And these are the Black people, no matter what we do.
Very interesting. Thank you for your call today. Thank you for your thoughts. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Idris. How are you doing?
Okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I was just out of the house, out of my apartment, but I needed to call because this is a very interesting question what you're asking. And the reason that I'm saying that, because you're talking about in the identification, how you identify yourself, and what is American. To me, if you take what is American, the first thing that I see is race, the first thing that I see. And the reason that I'm saying that, because I'm originally, I was born in the Dominican Republic, and then at the age of 8, I moved to Puerto Rico, and then from there, I came here into this city, into high school, into the 10th grade. So for me, when I was younger in my own country and then in Puerto Rico, I didn't think about race. But when you come into this country, you have to make sure, and they make sure that they tell you and they let you know why you are. I know that a lot of Dominicans, they have a problem identifying themselves. And if you go to the history, which I have never studied the Dominican history, but I heard from other people, They have an identity problem when it comes to race, but it's because of the history and also what this country had carried around Latin American and also to the Caribbean. But I will have to say that, I will have to say this for myself, what I identify myself. I identify myself when I started working in this country. I worked in Wall Street, and the department that I worked at the beginning, they at that time, they will let you know what you were. So I was aware of the race, especially when I went into high school, but then when I went to college. But then when you start working and then seeing the job that at that time people were getting, and even now, then you realize what you are. So when you are when I identify myself, like I went to Bolivia and I went to a museum where they wanted to know where people are from, I always, like that gentleman yesterday said, he gave you three different category of people or two category on how you became American. And you always talk about by natural, which is the white, and then the right that it was fought in the court, especially by African American to become Americans and the native, and people like me, we are in the third category, which is naturalization. If somebody outside this country asks me if I'm American, I really can't say that I'm American, really. I usually put down, and this is what I did in Bolivia and in Sweden when I went. When I went to this museum, I always put Dominican / American. Because and when people hear me speak, especially in this country, right away, they wanted to know where I'm from. But I usually tell them, where we are talking about has nothing to do with my identification, where I'm from. It has nothing to do. That's what I tell them because I'm getting sick of the same question. And one thing that I will have to say about this country, I have a mud as a son, and when they identified him, they can't really say what he is. They can't tell because of his look. One thing that I will tell you is that when they gave him identification, they easily tried to give him what this European call the lower European, easily down south, meaning on the south part, which is Greek, sometimes Italian, the dark one, because of course he can't fit in the white part, but he doesn't fit on the black side. But then he fits in that category as a dark. So that is a big problem in this country, is what people identify you. And you could be identified in different ways.
Is this country, something that
you could be a female
day, Ali?
Gender. You could be a female, so, you could be in the middle now. Everything.
I was asking, is this something that you experience every day?
When I'm with my husband, I will tell you, I know what I am, 100%. I don't have to turn around because I see their eyes on top of me. We have been married 34 years, and in this city, in this progressive liberal, it's a joke. You know what you are. Does it bother me? I'm a very, very proud of my ethnicity, my race. Very proud. I'm a light skin, but I'm a black woman. And I actually didn't know I was black until I came here, but I'm very proud of it. And I don't want to be anything else than what I am right now. I can tell you that right now. I'm so proud. And I tell people. And I let people know. The way I carry myself, I let people know. I don't even have to say a word out there. So, but I will tell you, yes, when I'm in this city, we have lived in this city, married for 34 years, and this is the deal. People, they let you know.
Hmm.
look at, yes. So you could identify in different ways, like I say, gender, race, the way that you're dressed, they identify you, they judge you, all these different things. But this country, when you're talking about identity, as soon as they look at you, they mark you. They let you know what you are. You don't even have to identify yourself. Walking a job application, for the job application, walking in a restaurant, you see who's serving you, who see who's cleaning the tables. It's all these different things. So, but the main thing is race. This country, you just have to put the word, instead of the United States of America, is the race of America. That's what you had to identify. That's how I identify this country.
Wow.
Sorry that I said
too
much.
What's a response? Thank you, Ali. And it is so heartfelt. And I'm glad that you feel so comfortable in expressing yourself on this program and telling us what you truly feel. Thank you so much for your contribution today. Albert from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice, it's Albert. It's a pleasure talking to you again, and may you have blessings on you and the audience.
Thank you.
I'd like to
a little bit of time because you'll be the last caller today, and we'll get to the others on another day. But just be conscious of the fact that we're running a little tight on time.
Oh, yes. I want to make this as concise as possible, and you did open up a can of worms about identity, and I'm going to try to phrase this in something
there
that makes
again,
sense.
I'm the can opener.
Oh, yeah. You're the can opening lady. I'm 74 years old, okay? And basically when I grew up in a place called Newark, New Jersey, and I always understood that I was black. Now, I had a unique experience which kind of led me to something that I think most people are bouncing off that don't quite get. One, there was never a question in my mind I was black. I had parents who came from the South, weren't particularly well-educated, but they were a lot smarter than I ever realized. My father was the kind of guy who always said to me, look, you're as good as anybody. It's like, let's put it this way. And growing up, yes, I understood I was black. Yes, I understood we had a whole different system. I understood slavery. I understood how I got there. But I also had this feeling in the back of my mind, hey, I know who I am. I know what I'm going to do in life, and I know how good I am or how bad I am. And what really defines a human being is just that. It has nothing to do with race, color. See, this whole race thing is one of the big, and that's the subject of Gerald Horn. I'd like to see him get on this one. That's the whole big the part that sort of maybe a 19th, 20th century invention. One, I always felt as good as anybody else. What would define what I could do is how well I could do it. Well, blah, 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 you go through school, you're always dealing with situations, okay? The situation that I found out is that it's how good you are. Now, there's always going to be a guy who's going to tell you, no, you're not as good for whatever his problem is. That's his problem. But this idea of racism is a peculiar kind of American, Portuguese, Spanish idea of ruling. And people kind of confuse what happens. The world has always been in a state of who's going to be on top of that pecking order. In the old days, I'm just referring to antiquity, I'm Caesar, it's in my blood, that makes me better than you. In Egypt, hey, I'm the Pharaoh, it's in my blood, I'm better than you. And what the American version of this is, which is so damning, is that these guys actually figured out and realized that, hey, you got a world which is full of people who are anything other than white, and the way to control it is to get a particular group of people thinking along the same lines. Now, it's manifested itself in being white, okay? But the truth of the matter is, the ultimate issue is it manifests itself in who's going to call the shots. Now, in antiquity, again, I'm an architect. These people realized, if you look at your history, black people or dark people didn't seem to be a particular threat. They talked about these dark people, but hey, you know, that's what they were. And they understood why they were. However, it's all about who's going to rule the roost. And there's an extreme problem of cognitive dissonance with Americans. And these people, I mean, I was always amazed. You go down to the Jefferson Memorial, you look up on that wall, and you just break out in tears because those words are so beautiful. And at the same time, you realize this guy's a slaveholder and a pedophile. I mean, when you put those two together, you think to yourself, is this really true? And what happens is, and I'm closing up with this, hey, it's all about how good you do what you do and who you are. Ultimately, this business about race is just a shadow. And that's all I have to say today.
All right. Well, thank you. Thanks for calling and contributing.
Thank you.
Now, if you've been listening to the program so far, hearing continuity of thought, I am not surprised, and yet I am, because these are things that we've been dealing with privately and sometimes in groups or organizations. But I wanted people to give voice to these feelings themselves. It becomes real, more real.
Yes.
And today we had 100% reaction was racial, the racial aspect of identity. Thanks so much for calling, all of you. I mean, this makes me so joyful that we have this level of discussion on the program. Thank you so much for contributing to that. Stay tuned and keep it right here. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks a lot.